Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, former Miss Nevada, now Assemblywoman, Teresa Benitez-Thompson, plus a great Power Pundit panel today, Bob Berengo, Robert Eidhoven, Angie Taylor, and Rue Goodnow. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park, the resort at Red Hawk, the Whittemore Peterson Institute, where today's discoveries are tomorrow's cure, and the Las Vegas Review-Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the crossroads of Western States distribution. From here at the USA Parkway Interchange, drivers can reach most locations in the Western region in one day or less. TRI also provides rail service on Union Pacific Rail Main Line and from the Burlington Northern Santa Fe Rail Companies. And with only a 15-minute drive to the Reno Tahoe International Airport, this makes TRI the crossroads of Western States distribution. The Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
As an employer, did you know you can be held liable for negligent hiring? A background screening by Employer Links can uncover criminal records, like alcohol and drug convictions. It can verify the applicant's education, driving records, and professional licenses. Employer Links can check civil records, registered sex offender records, and social security fraud. Hiring the right person shouldn't be a gamble. Call Employer Links. Employer Links, protecting your investment.
Championship courses and life's distractions fading away.
Join the area's best locals program, the Talon Club at Red Hawk.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis and Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're pleased to welcome back to the program after a long absence, Teresa Benitez-Thompson, an assemblywoman now, District 27. Yes. Pleasure to have you on the program, and congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to see you folks again.
Okay, before we get into the actual real stuff, I want to ask you a question.
Okay.
About strategy.
Okay.
Because we had the hardest time during the election cycle getting folks like you to be on this program. And is this an organized strategy now of Democrats to avoid the media and not come on shows like this? Because we saw in the previous election cycle that one of the candidates came on and then she was pulled. The other Senate candidate never came on at all.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just kind of curious.
Well, I think it can be hard, and I think it's probably a race-to-race decision that different candidates make. I know that, you know, I made my own decision in looking at my race and looking at the numbers. I come from a district that it votes predominantly Democratic and knew that the Democratic candidate was going to be strongly favored in the general election. And one of the things that I had experienced being on other panels throughout the community was that, you know, the person who's in the race who kind of has a long shot of winning can commit to anything. They can make any kind of promises that they want because realistically they might not have to follow through on those promises because they have a lesser chance of getting elected. And I was always really mindful of the fact that I thought it was kind of an uneven playing field to walk into a situation where you could be up against someone where they can say anything outlandish, they can throw bombs, they can commit and promise to everything, and then you look like a person while you're being realistic and conscious of promises that you're making in different venues and telling people how you're going to act as a legislator, that you might be a little bit more limited because you don't want to paint yourself into a corner on commitment. So for me, it was more about the fact that I really didn't trust what might be said on the other side, and the fact that I wouldn't be, you know, pushed into making commitments that realistically as a legislator I couldn't follow through on.
Okay, well, we really appreciate you being here now, and we hope you'll continue to come back, you know, throughout the legislative
session.
Well, Teresa, I wanted to talk about taxes with you because
okay.
that's You know, that's the big bear in the room at the legislature. Our governor, Brian Sandoval, has said no new taxes, yet Democrats say the deficit could be as high as $2.9 billion. How do you stand on raising taxes to meet the deficit?
Well, you know, it might sound simplistic, but my goal in this legislative session is to be really cognizant of the type of community that we're creating at the end of the legislative session. I've heard that your universe shrinks once you get down there. You're pretty much living within the walls of the legislature. You're removed from your community, you're removed from your family, and you're down there with a handful of your legislative colleagues and hundreds of lobbyists. So my goal, especially when we're looking at taxes, to think about the type of community that we're creating, and when we're thinking about the deficit too. You know, if the money isn't there to sustain programs, we're going to have to cut programs. We're going to have to make more cuts to education and more cuts to health and human services. And I always think, are we creating a type of community that I want to live in and I want to raise my kids in? My daughter's going to start kindergarten in 2012, so bigger cuts in education to me as a mom means my daughter being in second grade with 25 to 30 other students, and that's not necessarily what I want for my own family, let alone other children in the state of Nevada. So I want to stay cognizant about the type of communities that we're creating. That being said, I think we've got to keep the door open on all different options, and I would feel remiss if we didn't have a really good conversation about how we structurally change the way we get revenue in this state. I'm not so much a fan about going at this piecemeal of, well, let's get some money here and this here and this here and just kicking the can down the road. I really hope we look at some substantive changes.
Okay, what kind of structural change would you like to see?
I think even looking with just how we talk about diversifying our economy, diversifying our revenue. Right now, the two biggest pillars of the Nevada's revenue are sales tax and revenues from gaming, and then that's pretty much it. You've got piecemeal pieces of other taxes like modified business tax, but really they comprise small percentages of the revenue. And like anything else, we're standing on a two-legged stool. And does that lend itself to stability in Nevada's economy? So I'm much more interested in, and this might be more long range, in looking at models that lend itself to more stability, where we're looking at more diverse sources of revenue.
Would you consider a tax on services, since Nevada's economy is really service based, and we don't get any state revenue off of that?
I think it would be interesting to see that come before the committee and see what kind of conversations come from that. I am on the Taxation and Government Affairs Committee in this upcoming session, and one of the roles as a legislator that I want to be sure that I play is to not walk in the door having taken anything off the table or overcommitted in one area before I hear 1 minute of testimony on an issue. And the devil's in the details. I mean, right now we're just talking about big concepts, but it's about getting that piece of legislation in front of you and reading through it to see, what is this really going to do? How is this going to impact the community? How is this going to impact industry? Let's hear testimony on this and then be able to make a decision.
All right, let's take a break. More with Teresa Benitez Thompson when we come back.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
Attention diabetics, if you've taken the diabetes drug Avandia, listen carefully.
If a member of your family has suffered a heart attack, stroke, or even died while taking Avandia, call the attorney Greg Jones right now.
If you or a loved one have taken this drug and were injured, you may be entitled to financial compensation.
For a free legal consultation, call 800-595-6139.
You don't owe us anything unless we're successful.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, this may be the most important phone call you'll ever make.
I owed $50,000 in taxes, but listen.
Your tax problem is settled. You only owe $8,400.
What a great message.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, then you owe it to yourself to call this number. Let our experts help guide you through the process of negotiating a tax settlement. Call this number or go to tax10,000.com.
Urgent means if you have good credit now and a good credit history, you can qualify for a low fixed rate 30-year refinance loan from Mortgage in 15 minutes.
They turned my good credit into a great rate. Thank you, Mortgage in 15 Minutes.
They came through, like they said, in less than 15 minutes.
This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
Call us now for your low fixed-rate loan.
Call 1-800-604-1585.
It will be a short outing for this young right-hander as the manager heads to the mound. Uh-oh. I have never seen anything like this.
There's an easier way inside local sports. Las Vegas Review-Journal. Get inside.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis & Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shadd.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Assemblywoman Teresa Benitez-Thompson, representing the 27th District. Stephen Horsford has talked about that we're going to need to raise $1.5 billion in revenue and cut $1.5 billion. Is that your thought, too?
I think that's certainly probably the consensus of how to approach this issue. We know that we can't go about raising $3 billion in revenue in one fell swoop. It would hurt industry too much. At the same time, I don't think any of us want to go in and make $3 billion of cuts on top of all of the painful cuts that were made in the special session and in the last session. So I think looking at this as a give and take is probably going to be one of the best approaches.
You know, Teresa, this thing about making more cuts, there's already been four major cuts in state government, and you look at the things that are left. You look at the Health and Human Services budget. Mm-hmm. What are you going to cut? All the cuts now are going to be very painful. It's going to be like, you're going to cut the Medicaid pharmacy program, save $100 million. What would that do to of life?
It's going to be awful, and that's what I continually, and what I really hope that the street level, that the public can appreciate, that legislators have to deal with in this next session, is none of this is going to be fun or easy. And it's, I know for me personally, as a licensed social worker and someone, I work in the hospice field, and I work with a good number of seniors who benefit from or on the Medicaid program. And when we talk about cuts to services for that population, for our senior population, I can literally see the faces of people that I work with who would be, who could be put out on the streets, who would lose their personal care attendants, and that's hard for me. And I think that I don't want to lose sight of that, because as a legislator, once again, I want to be cognizant of the type of communities that we're creating, not just hash marks on paper to get us through a budget session.
You know, what really concerns me about making more cuts is that right now in Nevada, according to state officials, we have almost 300,000 people on Medicaid, and we have 110,000 people receiving some kind of state or federal unemployment compensation. Yeah. I mean, just to keep that boat rolling, I mean, is going to be, it take billions of dollars.
It's expensive, and of course, it's that, you know, that paradox that as the economy is suffering in Nevada and our revenue streams for the state of Nevada are lower, our caseloads in social services have been growing. I know for the constituents in my district, I heard from so many of them that it was the first time that they had ever had to, that they were ever in a point in their life that they had to access the public safety net. And they were embarrassed and ashamed about it. They'd worked their entire life. They never knew that, they never thought about the fact they would be unemployed for 9 to 12 months and that they would have to go to public services for help. Families are in a very, very tough place right now. And, I keep saying it, but we just have to be cognizant and mindful about the type of communities that we're creating in that legislature, because we could do more harm than good.
What do you think about the latest news about the extension of the unemployment, but not for people whose unemployment in Nevada has already run out?
That's hard for me, because I can't, I think if we had to take a survey of the people in the room, I think all of us know at least one or two people who have been unemployed for a good period of time. I have people in my family who have been unemployed for a good period of time and working very hard at finding a job. And you know, one of these people was telling me just the other day, you know, it's the worst time to know that that check's not coming right at the holidays. And it almost, you know, it's adding insult to injury on top of it. So I really hope that there's the momentum and the political will there to fix that, because people need that help.
Once you were elected, and in fact prior to being elected, what were leadership telling you about this upcoming session and what you should know, what kind of orientation?
You know, they were really preparing us for the fact that it was going to be a hard session. In fact, you know, many times I would have different people from industry representatives to community activists to leadership saying it's going to be a bloodbath down there. And then now that I'm elected, they let me know that, you know, bloodbath was actually a kind adjective. It's going to be much worse than that. So as a freshman, I think my goal is really to keep the needs of Nevada's communities, especially the residents of Assembly District 27, at my forefront, and to not get lost too much in all of the politics of everything, because people have real sincere needs and we have to address those needs.
Teresa, you're the only Latina member of the state legislature. Of course, we do have some Latinos in the legislature, but the Latino population in Nevada continues to grow. Why is there not more representation in government for Latinas and Latinos?
You know, Ray, I actually have good news for you, because we were able to elect in a good number of Hispanics in this session, because not all of us are Latinos or Latinas. So I'm the only one that's elected from Northern Nevada. And in the South, we have a handful of other Latinas. I think there's eight of us total. There are two in the Senate now, and then there are four of us in the Assembly. And it's six of us in the Assembly. And we have come together for the first time to really form an active Hispanic caucus down there, to really make sure that the community's needs are constantly being thought of as we address different pieces of different pieces of legislation. For example, education. You know, the community's disproportionately affected by the cuts that happen education, and making sure that we're bringing the community to the table and making sure the community is more engaged.
And you know, it was interesting because when the research from Senator Reid's campaign came out, that education was and jobs were the number one priority for Hispanics.
Mm-hmm.
It was not immigration.
No, it's not, because you think about what most families are thinking about right now, which is how do I get through my day and how do I get through the week, and it's getting your kids in school and trusting that the public education system is properly preparing them to get jobs and to be contributing members of the community, and then paying your bills day in and day out. And that's true for the Hispanic community as well. They care as much about their kids and their jobs as anyone else, and really want to be working.
And that's where we have to leave it. Pleasure to have you back on the program.
Thank you so much.
We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
To get a DVD copy of any Nevada Newsmakers program, call 775-857-2244. The cost is $30, including shipping, handling, and tax.
The Nevada Beer Wholesalers encourages the responsible consumption of beer. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association are sponsors and participants in many community-based efforts, such as school education programs, safe ride home, recycling programs, alcohol-free after prom and graduation parties, safe boating campaigns, and designated driver programs. They are family-owned businesses employing 2,000 Nevadans. They also collect and pay the state excise tax. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association, delivering more than just beer.
More and more people in Nevada are choosing Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield for their health coverage. So if you need an individual health plan, what's stopping you from joining?
With kids, I have to be prepared. Do you cover preventive care?
Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield offers a choice of plans, including those with preventive care, to help your family and your budget stay healthy.
I'll bet my personal doctor isn't in your network.
I'll bet he is. And our large network of doctors and hospitals helps you save on the cost of your care, adding more value to your coverage.
I'm self-employed. I need something simple and affordable.
No problem. Our plans are designed for different needs and budgets. Compare plans and apply online 24 hours a day. Or call us to discuss your options. Join all the people who depend on Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield for service and value.
For a free rate quote for you or your family, call 1-866-759-5029 or visit us online at anthem.com/join in.
Atlantis.
Newly designed and inspiring. Exclusive concierge rooms, luxury tower rooms, endless amenities to enjoy. Experience the all-new Spa Atlantis, featuring unique treatments. Spa is not an indulgence. Spa is a way of life. Award-winning dining at its best, featuring the all-new Atlantis Steakhouse. Fine steaks, classic cocktails, and tableside service. Reno's newest hotspot.
This segment is brought to you by the Whittemore Peterson Institute, where today's discoveries are tomorrow's cures. This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're taking this program the day after the resignation submitted to the Washoe County Commission by Senator Raggio. And we have a great Power Pundit panel to talk about this. Rue Goodnow is here, attorney with Parsons, Bell & Latimer. Angie Taylor is a consultant with Guardian Quest. Robert Eithoven, political consultant with J3 Strategies. And Bob Barengo, a former Speaker of the Assembly. Your thoughts, Mr. Speaker?
Well, Bill, Senator Raggio, I was the last DA of Washoe County he appointed. He and I were both elected to the Nevada legislature the same year. I to the Assembly, he to the Senate. They talk about people having a true compass. Bill truly does have a true compass. He's the only one I know that can claim that. He has an innate sense of how things should work and what they should be. We really have lost somebody important to us and dear to us.
And a master of the Senate.
Absolutely, especially closing out a budget at the end of a session. With redistricting coming up, I'm sure we'll see a special session or two anyway, if they can get the budget done to deal with the reapportionment and redistricting. Bill Raggio, you know, and he's been so classy even in the interviews after announcing his retirement. And over the last number of years, you saw that he was really getting sickened by the partisanship. And you can understand that coming from him. What was frustrating for a lot of people, Republicans in the political trenches nowadays, is this legislature is different from the one that he entered when Bob Barengo was Speaker, when Joe Dini was Speaker. Barbara Buckley and Stephen Horsford, and even Richard Perkins, where I think it started, really became cutthroat partisans. And people on the right wanted him to fight back, and that just was never his style. And, you know, God bless him for it.
Angie, your thoughts.
Well, I just think that it's a tremendous loss for us as a community, Northern Nevada. When you think about the numbers and the power shift and so on, I believe Senator Raggio for a long time has kind of protected us, shielded us because of his wisdom, because of the level of respect that he has, because of his bipartisanship and his ability to get things done when no one else could. That hurts us as Northern Nevada, so I'm really saddened by that.
Really?
Bill Raggio has been a great leader. He's a great lawyer. He was a super guy to work with. I worked at the same law firm with him for a number of years. I personally respect him. He is a loss to Northern Nevada, certainly politically. It sends a great deal of our power and influence down south. But I think that it's a testament to how classy he is, the way in which he's conducted himself in this situation that he's facing with in his personal life. And I wish him all of the best, and I know we all do, and it's also a testament to how much people respect and love Bill Raggio, the way he's being treated by the media, which I think is very respectful.
Well, and it's interesting. By the way, he'll be on this program on the 13th. He was also a great statesman, though, too, at the legislature. He worried about the entire state.
Well, the legislature's changed. When Bill got there, He personifies the way it was when he got there. Those people that were serving then were Nevadans. There was none of this north-south stuff. It was everybody was going to do the best thing they could for the entire state, and it was a big family. And they became the people you worked with, and you also your wives and went out with each other. It's changed a lot. It is not as big a family as it used to be, and now it is more partisan, much more partisan, and everybody's concerned about what their little piece of it is, and that's not the big picture and the best thing for the state.
Well, when I moved to the state in 1978, the populations of Vegas and Reno were pretty close.
Right.
And for a long time prior to that, Reno was the bigger of the two cities.
Right, and I think, you know, I saw an interview yesterday with him where he talked about he never really tried to regionalize it or anything like that. Certainly those of us in the North always kind of cheered him on as we knew that he was doing his best for Northern Nevada, certainly the university up here. But he did have a state, you know, an entire state view, and, you know, I think that's why a lot of the statements you saw coming out yesterday, admiring his career, his statesmanship, a lot of those came from Southern Nevada, you know, rivals, should we say, in the legislature who he would have some of those floor battles with. Many of those statements came from Southern Nevadans who enjoyed working with him.
Angie, you came out of the university system of Northern Nevada. Mm-hmm. He was such a major player.
Absolutely, he was. He was such a tremendous supporter of the university, of athletics, and the education students get from that. I mean, there's a building on campus named after him. He was given an honorary varsity letter just because of his commitment to education. And that wasn't just for us here at Nevada, but at UNLV as well. I mean, I agree, it was more about what was better for education in the state, realizing how important that is as we continue to move forward. So it's a really big blow to the university system.
The number one person pushing to expand the legislature was Bill Araggio. Do you think that has gone away now?
Well, I don't know that it's gone away. What I'm hopeful for is that people will learn from Bill Araggio's, some of the lessons that he taught us, and that people will begin to reflect on some of the direction that our legislature and politicians in Nevada have taken, the partisanship that was mentioned a moment ago. I think this is a good time for reflection and to start thinking about the expansion of the legislature, being fair to the rural areas and being fair to the northern part of the state. Those are topics that I don't think will go away, and I'm hoping maybe they'll pick up steam.
And that's where we have to leave it. Thank you all very much. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout. Bill Araggio on the program on the 13th.
The recession may be over, but the fiscal outlook in the West is far from golden. That's the word in a study from a think tank that says cuts alone will further tarnish the Silver State. We'll hear about it, and we'll hear from the anti-taxers, too. That's all in the next Face to Face.
S-O-S. Seriously. Overstocked sell-off and internet auto-rented sale. For 5 days only, internet is seriously overstocked and must sell all vehicles regardless of profit or loss. With zero money down and interest rates as low as 2.99%, you may never find deals this low again. Got a trade? This weekend, we've got appraisers ready to get you the most for your trade. Bad credit? No credit? We finance your future, not your past. This weekend only. With vehicle purchase, you'll get the new Apple iPhone 4. It's the seriously overstocked sell-off only at internet auto-rented sales.
Welcome to the Rose Bowl. The team's taking the field. Not many people. Oh, my. He missed. Off to a rough start here. Somebody wants to go home. What's he doing?
If you're not watching college football in HD, you're watching Pee Wee TV. Graduate to Charter TV in HD and Charter Internet for only $64.98 per month for 12 months.
It happens to everybody. There's no family in this world that's immune from having their kids get involved with drugs.
Everything, anything good in my life was taken away.
There was nothing, you know, nobody could tell me what to look for in my son when he was doing drugs.
It's not worth it. It's not worth the destruction of what you do to yourself and your family and your friends.
The News 4 iPhone app. You can get up-to-the-minute headlines, check the weather, watch featured stories, or even whole newscasts. Just search KRNV in the App Store. Don't have an iPhone? Check out My News 4 Mobile.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com. On our show next week, some great guests, including former State Senator Bill Araggio. Hard to say that. Freelance journalist Steve Freese, Mike Weldon, Director of Health and Human Services for the state. We'll see you on the next broadcast.